When I started this message, sins versus good works and prayers, I started out with good deeds. But the more I got into it and reading the scriptures that went along with it, I had to change the deeds to works. So now, like Elder David said, this is sins versus good deeds and prayers. We all know the sins which are listed in Galatians 5, 19 through 21. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, immolations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envying, murder, drunkenness, and such like. Just for FYI, all these sins have been omitted by the Church of Rome in the Codex Vaticanus. So does that mean the Church of Rome can do away with these sins and not be punished for it? Let's see. I remember several places that both Yahweh and Yeshua said something about the law. Yahweh said in Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 32, Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 32, "What things soever I command you, observe to do it, and shall not add thereto nor diminish from it." And I'm going to try and keep this short, as you may find out a little later. So two witness verses that go along with that is Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 2. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 2, and Galatians chapter 3, verse 15. Galatians chapter 3, verse 15. And Yeshua said in Matthew 5, chapter 5, verses 17 through 19. Matthew chapter 5, verses 17 through 19. "Think not that I have come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill." Witness verses are Psalms chapter 119, verse 152. Psalms 119, verse 152. "Concerning thy testimonies, I have known of old that thou hast founded them forever." And John chapter 4, verse 34. John chapter 4, verse 34. "Joshua said unto them, Thy meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work." Witness verses to go along with those top three are Acts chapter 24, verse 14. Acts 24, 14. Revelations chapter 22, 14. Revelations 22, 14. Luke chapter 16, verse 17. Luke 16, 17. Revelations chapter 12, verse 17. Revelations 12, 17. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 1. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 1. Psalms 119, verse 26. Psalms chapter 119, verse 126. Galatians chapter 6, verse 13. Galatians 6, verse 13. And James chapter 2, verses 1 through 13. James chapter 2, verses 1 through 13. These books are in order to each one of the verses I read above. That's the reason they're mixed up the way they are. In Romans chapter 3, verse 20 and 23, "Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified, for by the law is the knowledge of sin." Verse 23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of Yahweh. A couple of witness verses for that one. 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 46. 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 46. Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verses 19 through 20. Ecclesiastes 7, verses 19 through 20. And Galatians chapter 2, verse 16. Galatians chapter 2, verse 16. No forgiveness for deliberate sin. All who examine their lives according to Yahshua's standards discover sin. It may not be a frequent event or a flagrant sin, but none of us have lived up to what Yahshua has revealed of the Father's character. We are also, as individuals, forced to admit that some of our sins is deliberate. That is, we do not set out to sin, but we know in ourselves that some deed, action, or activity is wrong, at least for us, if not for everyone. Yet we stifle our consciences and do it anyway. At times, we may even recognize that we planned our sin quite carefully, or at least planned to walk into temptation, knowing full well in our hearts, if not in our minds, that we would give in. If there is an accurate description of the human condition, then Hebrews chapter 10, verse 26, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 26, is very disturbing. Is this verse making the distinction that the Old Testament does between deliberate and accidental sins? Is it saying that there is forgiveness for accidental or unknowing sins, but not for the other type? And if this is the case, are all of us who have knowingly sinned after our conversion lost? If that is the fact, the meaning this verse should cause terror and despair rather than mere concern. Hebrews 10, verse 26, for if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remains no more sacrifice for sins. Witness verses are James chapter 2, verses 9 and 10, James chapter 2, verse 9 through 10, and 1 John chapter 3, verse 4. 1 John chapter 3, verse 4. Example, David's deliberate sin can be found in 2 Samuel chapter 11, verse 2. 2 Samuel chapter 11, verse 2. When he saw Bathsheba taking a bath, and in verse 3, he sent messengers and took her, and she came in unto him, and he lay with her. Verse 5, she conceived, and she told David she was with child. Verse 6, David sent for Uriah, her husband. Verses 7 through 9, David asked him how the war prospered. Instead of going home, Uriah slept at the door of the king's house. Verse 10, when David asked why he didn't go home, verse 11, he said he couldn't because everyone else were sleeping in tents in open fields. So he was thinking about his fellow soldiers and didn't want to go home to be with his wife. Verse 11, he said he couldn't because verses 14 through 17. This is still in 2 Samuel. Verses 14 through 17. David wrote and sent a letter. Verse 15, this letter would send him to his death. Verse 16, Uriah was assigned the most dangerous position in battle. Verse 17, during the fight, and there fell some of the servants of David, and Uriah the Hittite died also. What was David's sin? Murder? Yep. David had planned the whole thing. Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 through 23. Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 through 23. Yet Yahweh mercifully forgave David his sin, but that does not mean his transgression had no consequences. Remember in Samuel chapter 12, verses 1 through 14, 2 Samuel chapter 12, verses 1 through 14, through Nathan, David finds out his fate. He will live, but the child will die. In chapter 12, verse 13, David freely admits to sinning against Yahweh. He repented to Yahweh, but that still didn't save the child. In the Old Testament, makes a clear distinction between willful or deliberate sin and inadvertent sins. In Numbers chapter 15, verses 23 through 29, Numbers chapter 15, verses 23 through 29, discusses the procedure for obtaining forgiveness for inadvertent sins. That's accidental or non-knowing, which I still don't understand that because they know the law. So in Numbers chapter 15, verse 22 through 29, and if you have erred and not observed all the commandments which Yahweh had spoken unto Moses, verse 23, even all that Yahweh commanded you by the hand of Moses, from the day that Yahweh commanded Moses and henceforth among your generations, verse 24, then it shall be of naught, be committed by ignorance without the knowledge of the congregation, and that all the congregation shall offer one young bullock for a burnt offering, for a sweet savor unto Yahweh, with his meat offering and his drink offering, according to the manner, and one kid of the goats for a sin offering. Verse 25, and the priest shall make an atonement for all the congregation of the children of Israel, and it shall be forgiven them, for it was ignorance, and they shall bring their offering, a sacrifice made by fire, unto Yahweh, and their sin offering before Yahweh for their ignorance. So as you can see, a sacrifice by fire to Yahweh would cleanse you of sins, supposedly, of which you were ignorant. My question here is, Yahweh gave the laws to Moses, who in turn read them to the children of Israel. How could or would you be able to claim ignorance of any sin? But in Numbers chapter 15, verses 30 through 31, Numbers chapter 15, verses 30 through 31, but the soul that does ought presumptuously, whether he be born in the land or a stranger, the same reproaches Yahweh, and that soul shall be cut off from among his people. But the verse 31, but the soul that does, never mind, doesn't say that. The witness verses for this verse are Leviticus chapter 24, verse 16. Leviticus chapter 24, verse 16, Matthew chapter 12, verse 31, Matthew 12, 31, Acts chapter 13, 45, Acts 13, 45, and Romans chapter 2, verse 24, Romans 2, 24. Now, verse 31 of Numbers chapter 15 is the verse that mentions the man that went out on Sabbath to gather firewood and was stoned for working on Sabbath. Do you see the difference in punishments for the sins? You don't have a choice on punishments for sins. It's atonement or death. In Romans chapter 5, verse 12, Romans chapter 5, verse 12. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Romans chapter 6, verse 18. Romans chapter 6, verse 18 says, being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. Now, could Romans 6, 18 possibly be a reference to the future Messiah being crucified on the stake? I have a short list of witness verses. You get the idea. I'm trying to keep this message short, yet still get in all the information and knowledge and scriptures of this message. Witness verses for the verses I just got through reading. James chapter 4, verse 17. James chapter 4, verse 17. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 20. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 20. 1 John chapter 1, verse 8. And 1 John chapter 1, verse 8. 1 John chapter 3, verse 4. 1 John 3, verse 4. And 1 John chapter 5, verse 16. 1 John 5, verse 16. I'm going to draw this part of the message with this, the conclusion starting in Isaiah 59. This is not going to be the conclusion, but it's going to explain some stuff. Isaiah 59, verse 2. This comes from the Bible Exposition Commentary, Old Testament Prophets. I'll be reading from this book, and then I'll continue on as soon as I get through with it, with Isaiah 7:15. And this is going to be a quick reading of Isaiah 59, verses 1 through 13. The unjust, Isaiah chapter 59, verses 1 through 13. There was a great deal of injustice in the land, with the rich exploiting the poor and the rulers using their authority only to make themselves rich. And there's going to be a lot of witness verses. That's the reason I didn't write it down. There's a lot of them. Isaiah chapter 1, verses 17 through 23. Isaiah chapter 1, verses 17 through 23. Isaiah chapter 3, verses 13 through 15. Isaiah chapter 3, verses 13 through 15. And Isaiah chapter 5, verses 8 through 30. Isaiah verses 8 through 30. The people lifted their hands and worshiped Yahweh, but their hands were stained with blood. That found Yahweh could not answer their prayers because their sins hid his face from them. It was a conflict between truth and lies, just as it is today. Isaiah compared the evil rulers to pregnant women giving birth to sin, to snakes hatching their eggs, and to spiders weaving their webs. What they give birth to will only destroy them, and their beautiful webs of lies can never protect them. When people live on lies, they live in a twilight zone and do not know where they are going. When trust falls, it creates a traffic jam, and justice and iniquity cannot make progress. Yahweh is displeased with injustice, and he wonders that none of his people will intercede or intervene. So Yahweh himself intervened and brought the Babylonians to destroy Judah and Jerusalem, and to teach his people that they cannot despise his law and get away with it. Yahweh's judgment on his people was foreshadowing that final day of Yahweh, when all the nations will be judged, When it is ended, then the Redeemer shall come to Zion, and the glorious kingdom will be established. Israel will be not only Yahweh's chosen people, but Yahweh's cleansed people, and the glory of Yahweh will radiate from Mount Zion. Isaiah chapter 7, verse 15. Isaiah 7, verse 15. Butter and honey shall he eat, that he may know to refuse the evil and choose good. Who is responsible for your sins? You can only blame three people. Three people. Do you know who they are? They are me, myself, and I. That's the only three you can blame for your sins. No one else is to blame. Moving on from sins to the good works part of the message. That's the reason this message is titled Sins versus Good Works and Prayers. How much would good works and prayers count in the book of life to cut down on the sins? First off, do you think good works will remove any sins we may have committed? Well, we're about to find out. As for me, I believe in Yahweh's word and the love he has for his children. And I also believe in the teachings of the Messiah, Yeshua. So here we go on a deep down learning experience, all for one and one for all, brothers and sisters. Remember, we are all in this together. I'm going to start with Proverbs chapter 3, verses 27 through 28. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 27 through 28. Withhold not good from them to whom it is due, when it is in the power of your hand to do it. Verse 28, say not unto thy neighbor, go and come again, and tomorrow I will give when you have it by you. James chapter 2, verses 14 through 17. James chapter 2, verses 14 through 17. What does it profit, my brethren, though a man say he has faith and has not works? Can faith save him? Verse 15, if a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, verse 16, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding you give them not those things which are needful to the body, what does it profit? Verse 17, even so faith, if it has not works, is dead, being alone. There's some hints right there as far as good works. Could this word works actually be a part of this message meaning good works? Did you see any attempt made to do good works in those verses? Titus chapter 1 verse 16. Titus chapter 1 verse 16. They profess that they know Yahweh, but in works they deny him, being abominable and disobedient, and to every good work reprobate. A couple of witness verses to go along with that one. Matthew chapter 7, verse 20. Matthew chapter 7, verse 20. 1 John chapter 1, verse 6. 1 John chapter 1, verse 6. And Revelations chapter 3, verse 2. It's Revelations chapter 3, verse 2. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, this is not one of the witness verses. Matthew chapter 5, 16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Remember, good works can be anything helpful to others. Please don't take what I'm about to say the wrong way. No, I'm not going to brag about what I've done. I'm just doing what Yahweh asked us to do for our brothers and sisters and strangers. Over the years, I have given food or drink to someone in need. I have given a ride to the store or doctor's office. I have been woke up at midnight and asked for a drink of water. I have helped a prisoner and still do, adding money to his inmate trust fund so he can continue to do his woodworking. I forgot to bring the plaque with me. Some of y'all seen them just past FOT that Jerry prisoner had sent up there for the silent auction. I have helped the least of Yahweh's children by buying 17 plus coats, sizes from small to large, for kids who had no coats to wear during the winter to school. Again, no, I'm not bragging, just doing my part. Remember Yahweh's words in Matthew chapter 25, verses 35 through 40. Matthew 25, verses 35 through 40. For I wasn't hungered, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Verse 36, naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Verse 37, then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Master, when saw we you and hungered and fed you, or thirsty and gave you drink? Verse 38, when saw we you a stranger and took you in, or naked and clothed you? Verse 39, or when we saw you sick or in prison and came unto you? Verse 40, and the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you have done it for one of the least of these my brethren, you have done it unto me. Remember this, Matthew chapter 10, verse 8. Matthew chapter 10, verse 8. Heal the sick, cleanse the leper, raise the dead, cast out demons. Now we know we might not possibly be able to do these things, but wouldn't it be nice to be able to comfort those in need of just someone caring and sitting by them? Matthew chapter 7, verses 16. Matthew chapter 7, verse 16. You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Main thing to remember is you have the power of the Spirit in your heart to do good. All of mine comes from the inspirations or feelings inside to do something good. I've learned to follow those inspirations not only in choosing subject matter for my messages I give, but any inspiration I get to do good works. You will experience a feeling of satisfaction deep inside. You'll feel your heart is glowing. Another verse is Matthew chapter 12, verse 33. Matthew 12, verse 33. Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and its fruit corrupt. For the tree is known for his fruits. In Acts chapter 20, verse 35. Acts chapter 20, verse 35. I have showed you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak, and remember the words of the sovereign Yeshua, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Also in Luke chapter 6, verse 38, Luke 6, verse 38, he says, give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together, and running over shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. And that don't matter if it's good deeds or what it is. If it's sin, if you don't do good deeds towards others, yeah, either way, it's going to come back to you multiplied. Paul never took any offerings. He was always an example of self-giving in ministry. In doing this, it was to teach them to help the weak and to support the poor. In Acts chapter 20, verses 18 through 38, Acts chapter 20, verses 18 through 38, I'm going to basically state this. Y'all can check it. Neither count I my life dear. Paul is an example to all believers. He was completely committed to the evangel and good news. His mission of delivering the message of Yeshua the Messiah meant more to him than his own life. Such devotion should be the goal of all believers. Scriptures declare that some of the saints will give their lives as a testimony to their faith, leaving them with these words. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 to 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 to 7. Excuse me. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall also reap sparingly, and he which sows bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Witness verses for this one is Deuteronomy chapter 16, verse 17. Deuteronomy chapter 16, verse 17, and Luke chapter 6, verse 38. And Luke, verse 36, and chapter 6, verse 38. Every man, according as he proposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or necessity, for Yahweh loves a cheerful giver. The witness verses to that verse, Exodus chapter 25, verse 2. Exodus 25, verse 2, Romans chapter 15, verse 26, Romans 15, verse 26, this is what good works will give you, Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 through 23, Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 through 23, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith. Verse 23, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Now I'm going to just give you the witness verses for this one. I'm going to take time to read them to try to stress how important they are for us to remember and live by. Colossians chapter 3, verse 23 through 24. Colossians chapter 3, verse 23 through 24. And whatever you do, do it heartily, as to Yahweh and not unto men. Verse 24. Knowing that Yahweh shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Master Messiah. Hebrews 10, 24. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 6. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 16. But do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices Yahweh is well pleased. In conclusion of good works, the more good works you do, the more the scales of judgment tip in your favor and a chance at eternal life. Matthew chapter 25, verse 32 through 33. Matthew 25, verses 32 to 33. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. Verse 33, and he shall set the sheep on his right hand. Who else is on his right hand? Yeshua, the Messiah. But the goats on the left. Now, would y'all rather be a sheep or a goat? Makes you think. I'm trying for a sheep. Sheep on the right hand, Yeshua sits on the right hand of Yahweh, and those on the left hand could be slaughtered or held out to see if their hearts change for the better. So does good works help against sins? I don't know the point system or how it works, but I believe that yes, good works added into the totals in the book of life for each one of us does help. Best advice I can give is don't be a goat. It is the best to follow the shepherd. Titus chapter 3, verses 7 through 8. Titus chapter 3, verses 7 through 8. That being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. This is a faithful saying, and these things I will that you affirm constantly, that they which have believed in Yahweh might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. Leaving the good works part and going into prayers. Do you know how to pray? I mean, to pray from your heart to the point you're almost begging. Well, the scriptures are full of ways to petition to Yahweh. You need to know who he is, and in scriptures, he tells you who he is. Matthew chapter 6, verses 16 through 15. Matthew chapter 6, verses 6 through 15. This way of prayer is basically one we all grew up with. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Father of my soul to keep. And the L word prayer, which is, you know, the L word is my shepherd. Verse 6, 9, hallowed be thy name. The word hallowed means to render or pronounce as holy. Father Yahweh, hallowed be your name. It's the way I start out my prayers. Yeshua here is petitioning that Yahweh's name be venerated and regarding as sacred. It is sacred. This entire prayer is a pattern to follow, not the exact words to pray. Another note states Yahweh is his name forever and is the verb of existence. He is the supreme ruler over all creation. He is the I am that I am. Worship is to be directed toward him, and he is to be venerated above all. His people are commanded to use his and revere his name. We don't go directly to Yahweh. We call on him through the Messiah's name. And here are the witness verses. There's several of them. Psalms chapter 68, verse 4. Psalms 68, verse 4. Isaiah chapter 42, verse 8. Isaiah 42, 8. Jeremiah chapter 16, verse 21. Jeremiah 16, verse 21. Exodus 20, verse 5 and 7. Exodus 20, verses 5 and 7. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4. Deuteronomy 6, verse 4. Verse 13. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 and 13. 2 Kings chapter 17, verse 36. 2 Kings chapter 17, verse 36. Psalms chapter 99, verse 9. Psalms 99, verse 9. Matthew chapter 4, verse 10. Matthew 4, verse 10. Leviticus chapter 22, verse 2. Leviticus 22, verse 2. Deuteronomy 28, verse 58. Deuteronomy 28, verse 58. Psalms chapter 105, verse 1. Psalms 105, verse 1. Isaiah chapter 52, verse 6. Isaiah 52, verse 6. And John chapter 17, verse 26. John 17, verse 26. How do we know if Yahweh hears us? John chapter 9, verse 31. John chapter 9, verse 31. Now we know that Yahweh hears not sinners. But if any man be a worshiper of Yahweh and does his will, him he hears. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 8. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 8. The sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to Yahweh, but the prayer of the upright is his delight. Proverbs 28, verse 9. Proverbs 28, verse 9. He that turns away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be an abomination. John chapter 14, verse 13. John chapter 14, verse 13. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. I always start my prayers with the Father Yahweh. I come to you in the name of Yeshua Messiah and end with, in the name of Yeshua Messiah, I pray. Praise Yah forever and ever. Hallelujah. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 22. 1 John chapter 3, verse 22. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. Also verses, James chapter 4, verses 6 through 10. James chapter 4, verses 6 through 10. This verse could also be associated with sin, but it's telling you what to do to get out of sin and or stay away from it. Confidence in prayer and knowing the truth is in 1 John chapter 5, verses 13 through 14. 1 John chapter 5, verses 13 through 14. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of Yahweh, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of Yahweh. Verse 14, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. I'm going to go ahead and do a couple of long witness verses, and then I'm just about to the end. Philippians chapter 2, verses 18 is a witness verse that I didn't do. Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 through 18. The other witness verse is 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 28. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 28. This verse is also too long to put in its entirety. Basically, it's all about the children of light. Not to sleep as others do. Comfort each other together. Edify one another. Know them that labor among you and be at peace among yourselves. See that none render evil for evil unto any man. Rejoice and pray without ceasing. The grace of our Master, Yeshua Messiah, be with you. Hallelujah. These verses of prayers gathering peace, rejoicing, comfort, and possibly what we will be going through during the day of Yahweh, the day of Yahshua's second coming, which is like the unexpected visit of a thief in the night. We will return and catch many by surprise. He will return and catch many by surprise. So it is up to us to continue in prayer and watch for the signs to let us know the time he is near. Witness verses to the 1 Thessalonians is James chapter 5, verses 12 through 16. James chapter 5, verses 12 through 16. Matthew chapter 5, verses 33 through 37. Matthew 5, verses 33 through 37. Matthew 7, verse 7. Matthew chapter 7, verse 7. Luke chapter 11, verse 9. Luke 11, verse 9. And 1 John chapter 3, verse 22. 1 John 3, 22. There's so many witness verses on this. I'm hoping I didn't get any of them doubled on here. Conclusion of the prayer section, Hebrews 10, chapter 10, verse 26. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 26. For if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remains no more sacrifice for sins. That was just a reminder of earlier, the sins part.